My thanks for all of you for coming back a second week. I got here a little earlier this week and the parking lot wasn't as full, but thank goodness, due to your help, I came without any detours, which was absolutely lovely. I also want to thank the children. I won't tell you how many years it's been since I led children's choirs. That was the first thing I did, starting when I played for church back in high school. So it's been a long time, and one always holds one breath. Will they echo? Won't they echo? But it is a beautiful place to worship, to sing in, to pray, and to praise. We begin today with the Roman scripture. You know, this is one of the letters written by Paul, and he's trying to explain grace with that big word, justification. He's trying to explain it both theologically and practically to the Christians at Rome. And he begins in chapter 5 with this idea that we are justified by faith and God's grace. That is, we are shown, as though we've been through a trial, to have a just, reasonable, and right basis as forgiven people, worthy people, no matter what we have done, no matter where we have been, no matter who we are. We are justified by God's grace. Knowing this can give us peace with God through Jesus Christ, because Paul's saying that's what Jesus Christ came to do. That is his work in the world. And all who believe have this connection with God through Jesus. So through faith, we stand firmly in this grace. Some of you know I have a fairly brand new, she'll be one in August, granddaughter down in Austin, Texas. And so each week I get videos and pictures, both from her mom's and from the nursery school. And the nursery school video last week was one of Johnny Rose learning to stand on her little legs at the preschool. Only they are just so wobbly, you don't know how long she will make it. And actually, she's doing pretty good because I saw her on Zoom yesterday. But there it is, and I'm thinking about the times that when I had my knees replaced and my legs were very wobbly. There were walkers, there were canes, and thank goodness now there are two knees that work. Because this scripture goes on for Paul to say we stand firmly in this grace. We don't have to wobble in it. I think sometimes we think we do, oh, I must have to do something else. There must be something more that God's asking of me. No, says Paul. You can't earn this. It is freely, freely given. All you have to do is say yes, which sometimes is a little hard for some of us to just say, oh my gosh, yes, I am loved. I am worthy. I am justified. Justification in this strength doesn't mean we won't have suffering, or as our NRSVU now says, afflictions. This scripture, for some of you who may have heard it for years and years, always used to say suffering. But affliction is a little broader reaching. It doesn't mean we're in pain and crying and unable to move or stand. This counts everything from distress, troubles, illness, to that serious pain. And in affliction, we can grow strong and rejoice because adversity can make space in our hearts for God's love when it reminds us that God is the one to turn to. And here begins Paul's chain reaction, this lovely little line of dominoes with four steps, knowing that affliction produces endurance. God is our example of the one who is ultimately enduring. Jesus Christ endured homelessness, misunderstanding, we'll hear that in some upcoming weeks in the parables, and betrayal. And the Holy Spirit is our source of courage and strength to endure. Endurance produces character. And character is a word that sometimes these days seems to have gone out the window. Because lying, cheating, and greed seem to have taken its place. But cultivating godly character, my friends, is essential work. The dictionary defines character as moral excellence and firmness. There's that firmness again. And a distinguishing feature of a person. So I wonder today, and I haven't done this for a while, and maybe you haven't either, or maybe you do it every week with Keith. I don't know. But I'm going to ask you in a second. I'm going to move out and bring the mic. What kinds of things are features of moral excellence? What is Paul talking about when he's talking about character? What kind of character are you striving for? What kind of character do you want your children, your grandchildren, and you hope your neighbors to have? So it's not a rhetorical question. So let's see what we can name. Okay. Oh, thank you, Johanna.
Having honest and meaningful conversations.
Oh, vital. Yes, honest and meaningful conversation. Who else has an idea about character? Good. Alice.
Telling the truth.
Telling the truth. Transparency. Great word. Thank you. Yes. Kindness. Oh, my goodness. Another one that's getting thrown out the window. Oh, my gracious. Empathy. Do we remember what it is? I hope so.
Understanding that we're all in this together.
Yes, we're all in this together. So how do we work together? Sunday is a reminder for all of us that I can't do it alone. How is it we work together? Any other words you want to make sure you add?
Commitment.
Commitment, good word. I got to tell you, when I'm thinking about my grandchild, I'm thinking a lot about love. And I'm thinking about that honest conversation, because one of the things that came up as my daughter was trying so hard to get pregnant was the reminder that she knew that I grew up in a very dysfunctional childhood home that made my life a lot harder even when they were little. And she knew nothing was going to be passed on of the violence and of the disruption. But how do we make sure we do loving things? How do we include, which is a big one in our family? How do we, yeah, Ben?
Oh, I'm not sure I have a response to that, but rooted. No.
Rooted, oh, good, good, soil. Good word, yes. Yeah, that little rooted in wings thing, yeah, yeah. Another thing that Sunday can do for us, Jill? Integrity. Oh, what a great word. Yes. What else? Anything else?
That we were all created in God's image and we are all beloved.
We are all beloved. And that's what Paul's talking about in this scripture. We are all justified. We're it's free. It's open. It's given to us. I see a hand. Have you done this before? Y'all are responding really well.
Yeah, we have done this before.
There are, good.
There are five words listed as you enter the church.
Ah.
There's, okay, this is a test. Love.
Good.
Faith.
Yes.
Leadership.
Uh-huh.
Community.
Well there.
And fun and joy.
All right. Oh, yes. We want, and you know, some of us want joy more for our kids than for ourselves, and that's too bad. Because, you know, some eventually you get to an age where joy's what you got left. You need to let that other stuff go. So, okay, so we had affliction, which produces endurance. I got to remember this right. Endurance produces character. So my next question for you is, where have you seen hope this week? Because that's what comes from character. This week, this morning, I used to think when my kids were little that I was hopeful we would get to church where their dad was the pastor on time. And most mornings we made it. This year, where have you seen hope? Good.
in the Pride celebrations going on around the country.
Yes, this is that month, and while some people are being stupid about it, hooray. Sorry. Pastors don't say that? I don't know. Go ahead.
And theater and all the friends I've been able to make through it.
Yes. Yes, good for you.
And a change of heart in the legislature and saving some of those that are most vulnerable.
Yes.
In our Rise Up Arts Alliance theater community, that includes everyone.
Mm-hmm. Where else? Thank you.
Yesterday, I went to the art show in Columbus and saw all the beauty and community together. It was lovely.
Yeah. What else?
In my oldest niece's graduation.
Oh, fun. What else? You haven't even mentioned some of the things. I saw Hope last week when Jack did the little thing at the end of the service about projects that you could get involved with to give other people hope, too. So, affliction produces endurance, which produces character, which gives us hope. And then we turn, thank you all for participating, to the Matthew scripture, because it's related. Jesus is feeling overwhelmed. He's been going everywhere and doing everything, healing everywhere he goes, cities, villages, even to out in the country, preaching in synagogues, proclaiming good news of God's kingdom, healing, quote, every disease and every sickness. And Jesus stops for a second and talks about how the harvest is great. There is lots to do. There is plenty of fruit, vegetables, whatever. And the field needs laborers. Now, I can't help but think to some of the problems that farmers are having these days getting laborers. And that's not the laborer's fault or the farmer's fault. But that's another issue. Jesus himself is working overtime. He needs helpers. So then we have this lovely name of all the 12 who are called in the scripture both disciples, learners, but also apostles because they're going to be sent out. And Johanna, you did a great job. And I wouldn't have known how to say the person who was from Cana when you add that little suffix on. So you did great. But a reminder, because one of my favorite early books besides the Bible was a picture book of the 12 disciples, apostles. And there they were, Simon Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, Thaddeus, Simon, and Judas. The first round of workers, they're going to heal, they're going to meet the need. Then we have some verses that are missing because it tell specifically where they're going to go be sent first, just the smaller areas, small towns, rural areas, but later at the end of Matthew, they will be sent to all the world. And Jesus says, as you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. We tell the good news first, and we live the good news. Because this reminds us that the kingdom of heaven, this is one of Jesus' subversive sayings, but we don't always think about it. Jesus doesn't say the kingdom of Rome has come near. The kingdom of the oppressor has come near. The people know that. They know how they are overtaxed. They know how they have to carry soldiers' burdens. They know how they are in occupied land. And Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven, God is going to mix things up. God is not the same as your country. God is over and above your country. And as we enter these days of celebrating a wonderful 250 years of who we have been, what it means to have a Declaration of Independence, a Constitution, a freedom to gather in worship together, to remember that God and country are not the same. So that list of characteristics that we named were so important, and you didn't have too much trouble because we've got some really bad examples in front of us right now. So I'm glad that leadership is one of the characteristics, the five things you all named, because that's important. Because we look to our leaders, we look to Jesus to teach us what godly character looks like. So step two of Jesus' instructions, besides saying the kingdom of heaven is near, are these things that make for hope. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with a skin disease, cast out demons. You yourselves have received without payment. That is related to that justification thing. Therefore, give without payment. Money is not the be-all and end-all. We know that. This is what fishing looks like for people. This is a new way of tax collecting, not collecting. Proclaim the kingdom. Heal, bring healing and wholeness for free. I can't help but go to healthcare. Oh my goodness. How do we provide? And last week, I know one of our prayers was for the disability issues here in our state. How do we help people get the healthcare that they need for healing and wholeness? And give our doctors, and especially our nurses and the orderlies in hospitals, a fair wage. How do we do that? How do we do actions to cast out injustice, to remember that we're all in this together? How do we bring our neighbors along to see this kingdom of God? I think you have some vision of that from that first week of VBS in the park. You just go out there and you sing it, and who wouldn't want to come and sing along? See how it goes. How do you keep doing the work that you're doing? Not because it earns you a space in heaven. That's already there. That's already paid for. The cross took care of that. And if you want any more, too bad. How do we say, this is given to you. This is free. This is something that is growing in you if you will let it. Because here are the important things, all those characteristics. And if you want to know what God's love poured into your heart looks like, it's like this. Affliction turned into endurance. Endurance grown into character. Character blossoming in hope. And then being sent out to share God's hope through the good news of Jesus Christ that the kingdom of God is near and that we have the power, my friends, bit by bit, inch by inch some days, step by step, to bring the kingdom of God alive in our midst through all the things we go through with the power of God shown to us in Jesus.